Morning. Cleveland Browns. Who they trade today? They trade the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame to Detroit for Joe Louis Arena or something? All right. What questions do we have? No, I wish they would.
What do you see in their defense when you look at it?
They're very stout. I know Leslie said that earlier in the week. Very stout. Good, big people that play hard. They're giving up 2 yards a rush. Very good corner, of course, in Joe Hayden, and good sound safeties. And they have Christopher Owens, who I was with in Atlanta, playing one of their corners, and I know how talented he is.
So when you look at that 2 yards a rush, is that mostly the defensive linemen making plays? Is it linebackers, or where are they best in stopping?
Well, their front seven. Their front seven is good, and their safeties are good tacklers. It's a very sound Ray Horton defense. We played Arizona the last couple of years against Ray Horton, their coordinator, and I've known Ray for years. The Oregon-Washington thing runs deep between he and I. He and I were teammates in Dallas, and does a terrific job. So it'll be a challenge for us to stack up against him.
So what's their pass rush like? I mean, are they sort of like Pittsburgh? I mean, they're kind of moving everybody around all over the place?
Yeah, very similar, very similar. And these guys are stout against the run, but once they recognize pass, they throw it into pass rush gear, and they're a handful.
When you look at attacking them with your passing game, do you start with Joe Hayden, and is he kind of the premier guy in their secondary?
Oh, he is. He plays fast. You look at a guy's combine time, and if it's a 4.55 or 4.6, and then you watch him on film and you think he just must have had a bad day in Indianapolis, and that's the case with Joe. He walks reverses down. He makes up ground when he is behind a receiver. He's a terrific player.
As you watch, does it seem like he's shadowing one guy, or do they play sides?
They have done that. They have matched up on certain guys, and so that capability is there. We'll have to account for that in our game planning if they decide to match Jerome or if they decide to match Greg Jennings or whomever.
Pretty relieved to see the offensive line come together after, you know, a couple of shaky weeks.
Yes, relieved, excited. Matt Khalil played well. We had a lot of good protection against Chicago, so Christian was able to be back there and survey the horizon a couple times. It was great.
And there was really kind of, it seemed like you guys found a rhythm there. What was the difference? What was key?
I think just more time on task. It was the second game of the season, and we're hoping that we get better as the season progresses. But from week one to two, there was definitely more rhythm and more execution, more productivity.
Did things change with how you approach the offensive line play from week one to week two, or how do you account for the difference in their play?
Well, I think we definitely emphasized it. I know they took it to heart that they didn't play their best in week one, and they're a very prideful group, so I think you can get beat at this, you know, at this level at times, but most of the guys are very prideful, and we have a terrific room in which guys really work hard to get things corrected if need be.
So, and how you approached it?
No, schematically, no, sir, no.
Pickett's interception, just a late throw, or what would you see on that he could learn from?
Well, we had a orthodox pattern going, and I think like he described, just the ball maybe came out a little bit too soon to a certain guy in the corner squad, and we'd never like to see that, especially on first down. And so those are corrections that Christian wants to make, and we want to make as an offense to stay on the field, even an earned first down where we're moving down the field and have some momentum and rhythm, and then to throw on the brakes like that, it's tough to overcome.
Anything Jerome could have done differently there?
No, not necessarily. No, it's not. It just happens at times in football, and the more that we can eradicate that and not have those happen in our games, we'll be better off.
When Christian started playing better there after that interception, was it a noticeable difference in maybe his decisiveness?
Yeah, I think he did. I think he shook it off great. He knew that it wasn't as the play was designed, and we gave him one there a little bit, which happens, but the key was he didn't let it linger and didn't affect when we came back and were able to get in the end zone. Adrian helped with his long draw, that's for sure, so it's always a team effort.
On that last trip into the red zone, can you take us through the sequence and what your thinking was on the run-pass mix there, specifically on that third and four?
Well, the thinking was to get in the end zone, and so our approach was to make sure and give us three good plays to give us a chance to come away with seven, at the very worst three. So it didn't happen. We didn't get in the end zone like we surely intended, and we came away with three.
34, you know, Adrian, you think can get four? What you percentage bet. Of the yeah. time in the goal line?
Well, I don't know about the percentage, but we're confident in all three calls. They didn't work out as we had it planned. The first down call didn't, second down call, and neither did the third down call. So we came away with three.
Overall, how much of an emphasis has it been just to get Christian to step up in the pocket and not bail too soon? It seemed like Sunday was one of his better performances.
Yes, I think his pocket awareness and being comfortable in the pocket is growing each and every year. We're starting here on his third year. I don't know if the first year counts or not, but he did show some progress there, and we did a good job protecting, like we talked about earlier.
How much of an emphasis was that for you as a coaching staff to get him to do that?
It's always emphasized. That's part of a good passing game, is having a guy being able to deliver from the pocket and carve up a defense.
This is your last week without Felton. How do you see Zach Lyon's readiness at this point? And then are you counting on having Rhett to help you out there in blocking as well?
That remains to be seen. It would be tough to go into a game without Jerome Felton and Rhett, both doing the fullback jobs that are part of our system. But we're waiting and seeing on Rhett. When Zach is in there, he's learning. He's a converted halfback, as we know, and so he's learning on the job, but he's putting out his best effort.
Wow. Does he have the power to kind of withstand back there a full game yet, at your point?
Well, we're finding that out after two games. It's hard to come to that conclusion after two games, but he's definitely getting better each and every week.
Practice?
I don't know. I'd have to look at the injury report from Shug. I know he was in there getting treatment this morning, and we're probably on a wait-and-see mode here on Thursday afternoon.
Does having Adrian confuse what's a typical running situation or passing situation in the red zone? Because you could say that's not a running situation, but he's also Adrian Peterson.
Well, I think that's our team. That's the way we're constructed. We consider our individual players and their attributes, and we try to devise things that are up their alley. So I don't think there's any anything more than that. Yeah, that's our approach. Good. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.